The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. My name is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. We've got a couple of guests that we'll introduce here in just a minute, but it's a pre-recorded show. I'm out muzzleloader hunting this morning with I'm deer hunting with the muzzleloader and my grandson. We're in Dorchester County, sick of deer hunting this morning. And if you listen to the last hour, probably one of us will be in the same stand I was in the other day and passed up a stag. So it's going to be a good day no matter what. When you get to hunt with your grandson and, you know, you spend time in the woods, it's always good. So we are pre-recorded, as I mentioned. We are giving away, still going to give away a muzzleloader at the end of the month and give you a one-time opportunity to call in and not go on the air. And that is a simple matter of calling the phone number 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, our call-in number. Talking to our producer, Chris. He'll take your name, your number. He'll write everything down. And then since you don't have to go on the air this week, maybe you'll honor that part of the deal and come back and call us next week and say, hey, I entered your muzzleloader contest last week. 28th next week is when we draw it. First winner of the year, October, November, and December, the fine folks at CVA are giving away a muzzleloader. They'll send it right to your house. CVA.com is where you take a look at all those fine muzzleloaders on your local dealer, too, and you will have a good experience. We're hunting with two CVA mountain rifles this morning. Jacob kept stealing the one I had, and using it, so I had to get another one. So I could use the same great CVA muzzleloader and not something else today. So we'll let you know the results of that next week when we come back. Now to our guest, Jason and Jennifer Carter, who have been here before, and that's C-A-R-D-E-R of Carter Taxidermy out in Imesville, Maryland. And you're right on the border of Frederick and Montgomery County, right?
Yep, right on the line.
Right on the line.
Just over into Frederick.
Yep, beautiful place you have out there. Great studio, and you do great work. Jason and Jennifer actually mounted my 2015 bear that I took in Maryland. Very happy to do that. You've done work for Laura, who I'm bear hunting with on Monday again. And then you did a nice 11-point for my grandson, Jacob.
Yep, sure did.
So we've been very familiar with the Carters and their work. What's the last thing you did for me? A sick of deer skull last year. You did one of those bleached skulls. Jennifer has a secret formula. She can turn a skull around in about, 2 weeks or something?
2 weeks, yep.
2 weeks. Yeah, that's great. She's got the secret formula.
She does, but she's got the secret memory too, because she was supposed to bring your bear skull today and forgot it.
I'm so disappointed.
Sorry, Alan.
That's all right, bud. All right, we're all out in the woods muzzleloader hunting today. Okay, so let's say that one of us, or some of our listeners, one of our listeners kills a great big buck, and they say, "Look at that thing! I want to get it mounted." What's the first thing you need to do?
First thing to do, obviously, field tag it.
Right.
Get all your credentials on it.
Right.
Field dress it as quick as possible. Get it in the shady spot. Dragging it out is usually an issue. Try to put it on a sled. Try to put it on a cart. Or if you can get the truck to it, try to do minimal hair damage as possible.
When dragging it, yeah.
When dragging it. And
yeah, we're probably going to have dry ground, not much snow.
Right. So, yeah, the way the weather's been going.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. Just trying to think.
Well, now, field dressing, let's talk about that for a minute, okay? you're going to want to get this deer mounted. Probably not a lot of people get a full mount, but some do. If they do want to go, you know, man, this is the biggest deer I've ever shot. It should be a full mount. I've got the money to afford that. Ballpark full mount deer.
A ballpark around between 1,800 and 2,500.
Okay, just depending on
How big, what exactly
habitat, what kind of base, all that. Okay, got it. Okay, so let's say the guy wants to do a full body mount on this thing. Okay, you got to leave the accessories in place.
That's recommended, yes.
And then dress around it. But
if it's in that situation, if it's a really big buck, and I can get if they give me a phone call quick enough, I'll usually say don't field dress it. That way, it's an extra incision. I'll have to sew up, and I'll take care of that. I'll skin it first, mm-hmm. and then we can field dress it.
Yeah, but that's somebody in your area, and I'm not talking. What happens if they're in Cecil County?
Well, then I typically say leave the goods on, and just make the smallest incision you possibly can to get everything out.
Get everything out, right? And so you might have
kind of like your bear that one time.
Yeah,
we had talked about.
Yeah, kind of have to reach up in there and get all the good
it
stuff.
It definitely makes it more difficult, but it's better off in the end.
And better off in the end. The smaller the cut you have to sew, the better off the mount is going to look.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so you don't want to drag them out because it'll drag the hair off the shoulders and that type of thing. If you can avoid it, a lot of people are using jet sleds, deer carts, and things like that are perfect for that kind of deal. And you know, I've had a cart for years and. One buck I killed up in Cecil County, big body deer, not much of a rack. I mean, it was a nice 8-point. First time I ever hunted a stand, and this thing come in at 25 yards. And, you know, I didn't even know it snuck in on me. I didn't even know it was there. I shot it and hit a little bit high. It took a while for it to fill up, and you know, but it ran a little bit. Found it, but live weight was something like 235. Yeah, and so I'm glad I had the cart.
I call that live dead weight.
Live dead weight. Live dead weight. You're right. That's a good term for it. So, you know, a cart, a sled, something to keep that from dragging that hair off of it. And the field dressing part, you don't want to cut up past a certain point on the deer. Where the ribs come together there at the brisket.
Yeah, there's a little, right there where the diaphragm will connect, there's a little piece of cartilage that gets right before you hit the brisket with the rib area.
That little flap.
Yep, that's where I like to stop.
Okay.
A lot of guys, when they're doing does or smaller bucks that don't mount them, they'll gut them clear up.
All the way up,
We get that a lot. A lot of, we have to make repairs where they go a little too far.
Right.
Easy enough repair, but still, it's extra time.
Yeah, and it kind of twists the hair on the brisket
a little bit.
It will,
the hair patterns off. Yep, yeah, exactly. You get pretty good.
Thank you. I like good taxidermy work, you know. I like dealing with good taxidermy. So, but if you hit that little piece of cartilage there, that little tab that's at the bottom of the rib cage.
I'm sure it has a name.
Yeah, we call a little tab at the bottom. Yeah. Technical name.
Next time I come on the show, I'm going to know that name for you.
Okay, good. That's good. Well, we're going to have a break. You can Google it if you want.
Okay, I will.
That's right. Basically, you're an inch or so from the diaphragm, so you can still reach the diaphragm.
Absolutely.
And cut around and reach up and get the heart and lungs out. So that's easy enough to do. I mean,
sure,
it's going to get, you're going to get a little bloody up to your elbow.
Well,
but
actually, I don't get bloody anymore because I have I'm 45 now. I'm getting older. I usually gut on my tailgate now, so I have to bend over and, you know, get all up in them with the Lyme's disease. So I've been buying those gloves that come up to your elbows.
Mm-hmm.
And some friends make fun of me on it, but when I'm done field dressing, I'm done. I don't have to wash my hands. I don't have to wash my arms. Completely finished. So,
buy the gloves that go up to your elbows.
Yeah, they sell them at Dick's Sporting Goods. They sell them online. They're field dressing gloves, and they're this. They come in a little kit. And there's this plastic that comes up, and then they give you a pair of rubber latex gloves that go on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just get right up in there and just go to town, and then just peel them off when you're done, and you're done. I mean, unless you poke a hole or something, you don't have to wash your hands. You don't have to do anything. You know, you're not coming up the road on 2-hour drives, you know, with that little bit of good sniffs on your forearms when you've been in there and give that little residual up onto it. So,
you're very graphic.
Am I going to get that? Is that going to get edited out?
No, you're not going to get. No. We get relatively graphic here from time to time, so it's all right.
Sorry about that.
No problem. But it's a good tip. I mean, you know, the hunters are listening to this.
But people make fun of me. Some of my good customers and close friends are like, whatever. I'm done. It's about clean.
Yeah.
You wear hip waders to go fly fishing. Well, you know, it's not I don't make fun of you for that. When I used to go in there and wade up and get my pants and
yeah, me
and socks wet. So
yeah, exactly.
What's the difference?
wet wading on the North Branch Potomac yep. River. Grew up doing that. Junior. Oh yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I get it. You get older, you don't want to get dirty.
You think I can get a sponsor for the gloves for mentioning that?
No.
Oh.
Anyway.
dang.
No, you gave a big box store commercial, but that's okay. We'll let you pass on that one.
Oh, dude. Oh,
sorry. Sorry. No problem. Anyway, so you got two main things. Be careful when you field dress. And then the other thing is get it cold as soon as possible.
Very good point.
Get it cold as soon as possible.
Yeah, sunlight is a major factor. Even though on the cooler days, the sun right now is on those high pressure days is really strong. And a big thing is if you still have an hour or two of a commute, stop halfway, maybe put some ice in it, and flip the sides over. Because the tops with the air is going to start cooling down, and the heat will stay trapped underneath of the deer.
Okay.
So not only good for the hide, good for the meat. You know,
yeah,
keep it to where you can flip it. Like you're making pancakes, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
So
okay, keep flipping.
That's a good. That's one of the bigger ones, because we'll have issues of some where they've laid around for hours.
Yeah.
The one side's perfect, and then the other side will start slipping.
I got it.
Because of the
and slipping means the hair starts falling out.
The hair, yeah. Yep.
That's
it starts falling
out.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so let's say we take all the precautions we can, but we got to get our deer processed somewhere. We don't cut them ourselves. Let's say we take it to a deer processor, and it's, you know, first day of muzzleloader weekend, first day of firearm season. You're going to haul that deer in there, and it's going to lay on the floor, lay on the concrete floor till they get to it, for the most part.
It happens.
I know. But, it does happen. Usually it's a little cooler environment there than it is, but it's not an ideal situation if that's...
Definitely not.
You know.
The couple butchers we work with, they try to go out of the way to help us out on that. They try to get them up and hanging.
Yeah.
But like you said, when it's... Muzzleloader's not as busy, more of shotgun season,
mm-hmm.
where the deer will just pile up, and you know they're struggling. You know,
yeah, they are struggling.
And it's a hard job.
I'm not banging.
Nobody
for
has
it's not a
5,000 square foot refrigerated area to hang. You know, everybody's deer when they come in opening morning.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, they do the best they can, and you know, yeah.
just tell them to be careful with it. You're going to mount it, and hopefully they'll take some, you know, some extra care.
Yeah, we have people
give somebody $10 to skin it.
Absolutely.
Right away.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
yep.
slip them a 10 or something, you know.
Yeah, the skinners love that.
They love it.
Yep.
Sure they will. Hey, you know, can you get to that? I want to, you know. And I've had issues with skinners and capes and things like that, as you know.
Yep, I do know
so,
that. Yep.
Yeah,
and
it
happens. I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
Sure. Yep.
They're in a hurry.
They are. They're trying to get the hide off of as many of them as possible. And, you know, but most of them do a pretty good job. And you know, guys that are so... taxidermists are associated with a couple of different meat processors are the ones that get the call, hey, I got a big buck down here, come down, and you'll come down and actually cape the deer at the
processor.
Right,
yeah, and also, when we get a call from our customers, we'll refer our customers to go there, so then we really try to ask them to take special care, you know, to make sure that we work together.
Sure, got it. Always good to have a good working relationship with your deer processor. Hang on. Hey, folks, it is time for me to tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Kent Island. Chesapeake Outdoors is the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers for a long, long time. Now, look, this muzzleloader season is only going to be 3 days, and we're back into bow season. They carry the Matthews Solo Cam compound bows as their main line, but if you're into the crossbows, they carry Barnett, Mission, 10-point, Carbon Express, Excalibur, and the brand-new Raven, R-A-V-I-N, crossbows, which you really need to check out. They've got all the accessories. They can custom cut your arrows, they'll tune your bow, take care of all the accessories, put them on for you, and make sure you're shooting good. There are still a few Hoyt bows on clearance that you want to check out. And also, this being muzzleloader season, if you forgot something, you can stop there this morning and get it. They have an entire wall of CVA accessories. They carry the great CVA muzzleloaders like we're giving away here. They also carry Thompson Center. They carry all the Yeti cooler stuff, the bags, the coolers, the mugs, all of that. Banded and Under Armour camouflage clothing, full line of boots, waterfowl calls, decoys, steel shot. You get the idea. Everything for hunting at Chesapeake Outdoors. They're located on Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Kent Island, 410-604-2500. That's 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Now, look, waterfowl season is coming back in here real soon. We want to make sure that you know where you can get the finest Browning firearm for your money, and that's Clyde Sports Shop. They have the AB3 Hunter. Now, that's not a waterfowl gun. That's a deer rifle. But let me tell you about it anyway. It's a combo gun. It comes with a 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope made by Nikon, a Nikon Buckmaster, mounted from the factory, so you know it's right. Comes in a variety of calibers, 243, 7mm 08, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm Remington mag, and 300 Win mag. It's a combo gun in wood or synthetic. It's a great value. It's the AB3. Ask for it if you're looking to save a lot of money on a good centerfire, high-powered rifle. Now, back to the waterfowl guys. The BPS pump comes in all gauges, even 12 and 20-gauge deer models. Comes in camo, bottom ejection, and it is a great pump-action shotgun. All of these Browning firearms are available and can be seen at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. You know, they've been there 60 years, and they carry the full line of Browning ammunition. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. Folks, back with the Carters. And more after these messages. Crab and seafood lovers, are you ready for some good times? The Spurry family has been in the seafood business on the Eastern Shore for over 35 years, specializing in local Maryland crabs and oysters, and they own the famous Chesapeake Landing Restaurant in St. Michael's. They're now bringing the best of the Eastern Shore across the bridge to Baltimore. Good Times Crab House, located at 8001 Liberty Road, just 1 minute off Beltway Exit 18, headed west, is now open to serve you the freshest Maryland crabs, local oysters, fresh-picked crab meat, Gulf shrimp, a variety of fresh fish, and Alaskan snow crab legs. And Good Times Crab House and Crab Feast Catering specializes in on-site crab feast catering for your large events. Look for Good Times on Facebook for daily specials and weekend deals. Call 443-657-7187 for Good Times and good crabs and seafood. It's Good Times Crab House. Call 443-657-7187. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Hey, Alan Ellis here with Jason and Jennifer Carter, Carter Taxidermy. We talked about taking care of your deer in the field and a butcher shop and what you need if you happen to take a nice one that you want to have mounted. Now, you know, of course, the traditional mount is a shoulder mount, and that's what we were talking about when you were doing the field dressing thing. A shoulder mount includes the brisket, the line of the brisket up around to the
top.
Yeah,
8 inches of the brisket.
8 inches
in some
of the brisket.
Cases.
Yeah, up to the back. So, but there are other mounts. There's full size. There's half mounts with the two front legs on coming out of the wall. You know, did you ever mount the front half coming out of one wall and the back half coming out the other wall?
I haven't.
Yeah,
I've had a few people request that.
Yeah.
If they got the right specimen.
Uh-huh.
Right type of animal, yeah.
Right type
animal. I think you were one of them, actually.
No. I did the half and half.
Half and half?
Yeah, I did the deer that's cut down
through
the center.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right.
Yeah, half the head corrected. Rack on one side and half the head rack. I did that. I know. It's a little odd, but you know what?
It works.
It works. It's all good. And I sent you a picture not long ago of one that was mounted like it was on a backpack. And you said you've done some of those.
Yep. Yeah,
those guys
are cool.
Packed the deer out. Yep. You know, there's a backpack and the pick and whatever our stuff is on this backpack. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool mount.
Yeah, it is neat.
Yeah. So, what about a deer rug? Can you do a deer rug?
You know, I've only ever done one. It was a piebald.
Right.
And, you absolutely can do it. We do a lot of flat tanning on that, but this particular case, it was a young piebald doe, I believe,
uh-huh.
a button buck, and we did it normal, just like a bear rug. We had
uh-huh.
a head shell in the ears.
Yep.
Jennifer did all the sewing around, and we rugged it up.
Right.
And had a dry tan because so to be flexible.
Right.
Customer is actually, you know who Mule is, I think.
Yeah, I knew who Mule is. Sure. Oh, okay. Got it.
It turned out beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Piebald. Yeah. I've seen a few this year, as a matter of fact. So.
Yeah, we have a friend of mine's got a couple, maybe 10% white on it, but I haven't seen anything significant.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you did that one full mount for Travis.
Yes, I did, and I have actually I have one from last year that I got to get ready for the kid for Christmas, and it was from Eastern Shore, and it's about 95%.
Yeah.
So it's a little buck.
Yeah. I got it.
Full
yeah.
body, so it'll be neat. Yeah.
It's not really a bad thing to take those out of the gene pool. Everybody says, oh, you shoot a white deer, it's bad luck.
Yeah.
You know, we are not the Indians. We don't have any white buffaloes here in Maryland that I know of.
Right.
Piebald is a sign of of inferior genetics, from what I understand.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the recessive gene, which is the albino gene, and some of those piebalds can be pretty jacked up. Their jaws are undershot. They're deaf, some of them.
Their noses are usually real smashed up.
Yeah.
And they're short.
Yeah. And they have arthritis or sometimes they have hearing problems.
Yep, their legs are really short, usually.
Sometimes they're sterile. I mean, it's just not a good situation. So take them out. Take those brown and white deer out of the gene pool.
That's right.
When you get a chance.
And they're a trophy.
Well, if you want to call it. Something that's something.
Like they're a lot of people like them.
A lot of people like them. They're very unusual. No question. Not so much, but they're unusual enough, you know. So I only had an opportunity to take one. And
they're more common.
Yeah, just a little. It was a little far out. It was about 50 yards. And I thought about it a couple times, and I let it pass, and then went down over the hill, and somebody else got it.
Okay.
Which is fine. That's fine. Anyway, bear season comes in this coming Monday.
Yep.
And I mentioned earlier you guys mounted my bear from 2015. Did a beautiful job, a full mount standing bear on a little habitat base. I didn't want much. I didn't want trees and brush because I like to have the animal representative of where it was when I shot. And it was out in the middle of a field. And so you did a beautiful job on it.
Thank you.
Indeed. But there's also some special care that needs to be taken for somebody that shoots a bear.
Yep.
Same basic stuff. If you're getting a full mount, you know, leave the accessories on. Don't make a big cut. But why are bears different than deer?
I mean, typically the hair is different. They have a tendency not to slip as easy.
Right.
In other words, the hair fallout.
Because right.
Deer hair is hollow and it breaks off easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can slide it across the tailgate and break the hair off instead of pulling it out.
Right.
In that sense, bears are easier, in my opinion, to take care of. But you're dealing with something that eats meat.
Right.
As opposed to all, you know, grain and grasses.
Mm-hmm.
So gutting them is a little different. If you would happen to rupture anything, you need to make sure you get that washed out real good.
Because
the bacteria levels are a lot different inside. And
good to know.
And especially on the incision, if you get it on around the edges and stuff, make sure that's cleaned up good. Just rinse it off good, get it dried out real good. Because water will grow bacteria too, but it's better to rinse them than to deal with.
Right. Right.
I mean, they eat berries and everything too, but usually if there's a deer carcass close by, they're going to be into it.
Oh, sure. Sure. We were walking Laura drew a bear tag, and we walked property out in Frederick County the other day, and we had Harry Spiker on here, the deer project leader here in Maryland for bears a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how bears love pokeberries. there wasn't a pokeberry on the property that wasn't stripped off. I mean, it was, you know, they were there. They were into them. And so, you know, lots of bears there on this property. But, you know, we'll see if we see one. That's
sure the main thing. Sounds like you got a pretty good spot there.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. So we'll see. It's a little more difficult to hurt a bear hide than it is a deer hide, especially a winter deer. You know,
right?
You know,
yep.
you know more about deer hair than I do, but I do know this.
Yeah, typically September deer are real short, and they haven't got into the part of the follicle that's hollow.
Right.
And the longer the hair, the easier it's damaged.
What I was told years ago from a guy who raised deer in Ohio, and I can't remember his name, but he had a deer farm, and he used to come to our shows and exhibit his big bucks. What I was told, that is, that the summer coat on a deer is three times as dense as a winter coat because they grow more hair, denser hair, to protect them from the insect bites and that type of thing. And in the winter, that all changes, and the hair is larger because it's hollow. So they grow less of them, but
yeah,
they're more insulated by them.
Yeah.
And I know you like those.
It's kind of like a double pane window. It's the hollow hair actually keeps them warmer.
Of course. And I know you like those real.
Oh yeah, those short early season hides.
Yeah,
I got a little infatuation with those things. Those things are sweet. we try to save as many as we can.
Sure.
For mounts here and there.
Yep,
so.
I got it. Yeah, so early season, I mean, that's what you're going to get. And the transition ones from, you know, middle of September, end of September, where they start growing those hair, they're nasty looking.
Well, that's the problem. Times of the year, you come into the shop and the deer are like amazing looking. It's like they're fresh out of the beauty salon. And then later in the year, when those rut bucks come in, they've been fighting and the hair's longer and they've been jumping fences and bouncing off cars and trees and mailboxes. the mounts don't look as good. It's the same quality of work, but it's...
Well, of course. But, I mean, the deer gets beat up. And, you know, quite frankly, I like a deer with some character.
A lot of guys do, especially if it's a big one.
I shot a 10-point up in Cecil County, and the eye, it had been in a fight, apparently, and its eye was all swollen up. And I said to the taxidermist, mount, you know, half shut. I said, mount it like that. Well, he didn't, you know. So like that. But that's all right. But you would have if I'd asked you.
Sure I would have.
You know.
Yep.
So.
I've had him come in with the eyes missing and want him mounted that way. And it's like, I don't know if you really want to do that.
Yeah.
We have one in the shop right now that the guy wants a patch on its eye.
Oh, that's right.
Because it's missing its eye.
He wants an eye patch.
And he actually wants a patch.
He wants to wants to purchase a patch and put a patch on it for him. So, and that's what he'll get.
A deer hide patch or just an eye patch?
Like a traditional,
like a pirate.
Like a pirate.
Like a pirate.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. But customer's always right.
Mm. What do you call a deer with no eyes?
Don't know.
No idea.
That's pretty cute, Alan.
Thank you. I appreciate
that.
Hey,
Jennifer spoke up and
I heard
laughed
that.
On
she
that
laughed.
One. That was pretty good.
She liked that. Yeah. Yeah. What do you call a deer with no eyes and no legs?
Don't know.
Still no idea. There's more to that, and we'll talk about that later. So I think our listeners have heard enough about that. So,
it's cute.
All right. So I know you do some game birds, too, and we got some waterfowl guys out there. And basically, they shoot a duck, and the dog brings it in. They chuck it in the blind, and then they bring it to you to fix.
Yep.
And it's all shot up. The wings are broke. The beak's shot. The feet are shot.
Yeah, that's most of the time, there's usually a couple ducks when they shoot. Sometimes they'll just get one, but there's usually a better one to pick from, and they'll bring in a couple.
Right.
Be like, okay, I can only afford one, so we'll try to pick out the best one.
Right.
But we use replacement heads, so the beaks, if they want the shot beak, we could use the real one, but we usually use artificial.
Right.
And the repairs can be done to the feet. The body's the most important thing.
Right.
But
there are fake feet. There are fake bills or fake heads.
Yeah, I'll cast my own feet, too, for competition and stuff like that. But there's all kinds of stuff you can do. One of the biggest things I would say about the ducks is if you're not going to bring it right to me, it's the best way to store them. And it really makes a difference, is to slide them down in a stocking or a pantyhose. You have to borrow your girlfriend or your wife's pantyhose, but... They go straight in, and it holds all the feathers in the right direction and holds them tight, and then throw it in a trash bag to freeze them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot better quality mount.
And get all the air out if you possibly
can.
Yeah,
all the air out. Yeah, and that way everything's tight. The feathers are all tight to the bird.
So I like that.
Nothing gets pulled back the wrong way.
And people don't understand what it takes to mount a duck. I mean, you've got to skin that thing just like
you do
a deer.
It's like skinning wet tissue paper, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And then it's very fatty and greasy.
Fatty, greasy. You got to scrape all that off, and then you got to wash it in
degreaser,
Dawn detergent, or something like that.
Soak it in white gas.
Soak it in white gas.
Yeah, that's how you get the basically Coleman fuel. After you get it all washed up good as best you can, and also displaces the moisture in it, and you want to stick them in there for about 10 minutes,
and that takes everything out.
Because if you don't, it's all going to come back out.
When
it gets into a warm room or in the wintertime, you got the fire stoked up, it's going to start seeping. So. That's another thing duck hunters need to, bird waterfowl need to think about when they're choosing a taxidermist.
Yeah,
the cheapest guy might not always. I'm not saying he won't do that.
Yeah, but
you just got to make sure and ask questions.
And don't smoke around your duck.
Yep, exactly.
Hey, look at this canvas bag.
Oh, that's a. I got you.
I must have just came from the taxidermist.
Uh-huh.
Oh, got it.
Yep.
All right. Let me do this. All right. More waterfowl shotguns from Clyde Sports Shop. The Maxxis shotgun. This is an autoloader. It basically designed for waterfowl hunting perfection. It comes in 3 or 3.5-inch chambers. It has what's called the power drive gas system that reduces recoil. This is a gun that comes to your shoulder beautifully, and you'll like it. It's called the Maxxis from Clyde Sports Shop and Browning. It comes in Mossy Oak camo as well. Then there's the Gold Light 10-gauge. If you guys want to do some, way up there, snow goose shooting and that type of thing, I'd recommend the Gold Light 10-gauge. It is an autoloader, gas-operated, 3.5-inch chamber, comes with that DuraTouch armor coating, Mossy Oak camo, comes with 3 standard Invector choke tubes so you can choose how you want to shoot. There's the A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet, bar none. Comes in Mossy Oak Shadow Grass blades with the DuraTouch camo, fiber optic front sight, the humpback receiver, just like the traditional A5, ergonomically balanced, recoil-operated, kinematic drive, 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. All at Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit 9. Been around for 60 years. Full-line gunsmithing services as well. Great Browning ammo to go with those Browning firearms. That phone number, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. Let's roll down to the Eastern Shore. You go across the bridge, and you're looking at the exit numbers. You're looking for 39B. That's Dominion Road. You'll go right past the big green and white sign on Chesapeake Outdoors, and you turn on the very next exit right behind the Exxon station, and you're in the parking lot. Banded camouflage clothing, Under Armour camouflage clothing, a full selection of boots, hips, and waders if you need them. Let's talk about muzzleloaders first. A full line of CVA and all the accessories. They carry carry Thompson Center. They carry the great Yeti coolers and all the accessories. If you need a great Yeti tumbler for your coffee like I have or for your water, that's the place to get them. Waterfowl calls, decoys, steel shot, gear, camo, you name it. For waterfowl, they've got everything. Also, bow season right here, right now. The Excalibur, the Carbon Express, the 10-point, the Mission, the Barnett crossbows, and even the brand-new Raven crossbow as well. Check that one out online if you want. Raven, R-A-V-I-N. They have both the 900 and the 1500 models when available. And for their compound bows, it's Matthews Solo Cam. Full line of firearms as well for waterfowl from Remington, Chiapa, and Escort. All the ammo to go with it, the steel shot that I mentioned. They can get you hunting no matter what the season. It's Chesapeake Outdoors. That's 39B, exit Dominion Road, off Route 50 on Kent Island, Maryland, 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Dry weather and unseasonably mild temperatures all the way into Monday. Cold front bringing rain Tuesday with significantly cooler temperatures for the middle of the week. Mostly sunny skies today. We're into the mid-70s this afternoon. Partly cloudy tonight near 50. Mix of clouds and sun and unseasonably mild again tomorrow, mid-70s. Increasing clouds Monday, mid-70s. And then rain and around 70 Tuesday. Partly cloudy, cooler, lower 60s Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but has some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. I don't go through the fast food drive through when I'm on Route 50 heading to the deer stand or the duck blind. I'm patient, but my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of Rise Up coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery. And from 11 to 2, you can grab a tasty lunch, too. Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs and strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think Big Donut or call 410-228-9111. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery, and be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see me and Robin there. Crab and seafood lovers, are you ready for some good times? The Spurry family has been in the seafood business on the Eastern Shore for over 35 years, specializing in local Maryland crabs and oysters, and they own the famous Chesapeake Landing Restaurant in St. Michael's. They're now bringing the best of the Eastern Shore across the bridge to Baltimore. Good Times Crab House, located at 8001 Liberty Road, just 1 minute off Beltway Exit 18, headed west, is now open to serve you the freshest Maryland crabs, local oysters, fresh-picked crab meat, Gulf shrimp, a variety of fresh fish, and Alaskan snow crab legs. And Good Times Crab House and Crab Feast Catering specializes in on-site crab feast catering for your large events. Look for Good Times on Facebook for daily specials and weekend deals. Call 443-657-7187. For Good Times and good crabs and seafood, it's Good Times Crab House. Call 443-657-7187. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Alan Ellis here with the Outdoors and Radio Show. We hope you've been able to call in and Sign up for the muzzleloader contest. We're giving it away next week, so this is 1 week only. You'll be allowed to call in and just leave your name and number. Hopefully you'll call back next week and say, hey, I got in last week. I just wanted to say hi. you can also register online if you want, like a lot of people do. And that's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, my email, and you can find that online as well if you want. But ellis@ellisoutdoors, if you just name and phone number. I need your name and phone number. And your subject line should be muzzleloader or muzzleloader contest. And you're good to go. You'll be in the contest, that's for sure. We're back with Jennifer and Jason Carter from Carter Taxidermy out there in Imesville, which is Frederick, Montgomery County. And Jason's done some work for me and Jacob and Laura and all that. And Jennifer's right there with them, mounting those deer and doing the skull mounts and all that stuff. And you guys are all hunters, too. You've killed some really nice deer, haven't you, Jennifer?
Yeah, I've killed several nice bucks.
Yep, I know that. Yep, mostly bow hunting. And now the family affair. You
yes.
got a couple kids.
Very exciting.
Yeah, we've had your daughter who got her license last year and took a doe last year,
yep,
if I recall.
Hunter safety course, got her passed, did her real good on that.
How old's your daughter? Cheyenne?
She's 10. 10? She was 9 when she passed.
Okay.
And I was able to get her first doe. She's not like really enthused over it. She does, I think she's trying to be more satisfying me. She likes it, but then once she gets, she calls it coasting. She wanted to get, what you call it?
She
wanted
to
get some taco.
She wanted to have some taco meat.
So last year her goal was to get taco meat.
Taco
meat.
Which
was the dough, which she did that. And then this year she wanted to get one with fuzz.
She got
one with fuzz.
Antlers.
So she wanted a velvet.
So we were very lucky. We were in a tree stand and, I have trouble sitting in them things for 4 hours like I used to.
I know.
So I got, it's pretty condensed area, pretty private. I can move some. And I got out to stretch. And then I sat down, and there's a little velvet buck, like a little six-pointer on the bait pile, going to town. And I'm like, there he is. So I was
sure,
like, in the swamp, I got excited and started shaking because it's like, I was like, there's her fuzzy buck. So she did good. She got it. So.
That's good. That's good. And then your younger son.
My youngest son, he's turned eight last week. He was 7 when the season opened up, and we were fortunate enough to be able to jump on the apprentice license this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he went online and took
the online
questions.
Course.
Yep, the videos. It was real. Pretty simple.
Okay.
I'd highly recommend it. And we went right out, and he got a little 7-point.
Nice.
And tickled, and he's got a doe since then, too. So
he's
looking for another doe so he can go back for his second.
What's the real story now? I think Mom is probably the real story, right?
Mom does pretty good. She does pretty good. She's got... Gotcha. My mom, yeah. See, I can't even...
Your mom.
That doesn't even sink into my head.
Why?
It's just unreal that my mom at 72 has took an interest in hunting, and you know I'm sending texts about my mom and I didn't see this or my mom and I didn't see that, and I'm thinking I can't get used to saying that,
right?
You know, it's always been like, oh, when are you going to come home from hunting, what time are you going to be here, so
right.
I'm gonna have dinner. Now it's like, what time are we going to get in the stand? And I'm like, I don't know what to think.
Okay, so
yeah.
Did she do the apprentice thing, or did she take the pool?
She actually is grandfathered in to the 1977. I think
right.
she had a hunting license back in the day at some point, did some squirrel hunting way
right.
many years ago. She was
right.
born in 1945 or 46,
right.
I think. So
yeah,
we just went online. She actually lives in West Virginia, so we got her the out-of-state license, and it's a senior, so it was a little cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And took her out the first night. She's like, I'm going to kill a big buck. I'm like, Mom, it doesn't work like
now,
that.
Now, this is a Maryland deer or West Virginia?
Maryland deer, yeah.
Okay.
It's all Maryland hunting.
I got it.
I want to get a really big one. I was like, Mom, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
We'll just be lucky if we see one, you know. So
right.
the first night, we didn't see anything. And she was pretty disappointed. And about a week later, we went back out. As soon as we got in the stand, she goes, I just want to shoot first thing that comes in. Because now she's like.
Now she's in on it. Yeah.
I want something.
I want to get on the board. I want to, you know, I want
yeah,
to get something.
That's good.
So, about an hour into the hunt, we were sitting there, and she's not like the kids. The kids, you know, they kind of get off on La La Land.
Yeah.
They want to play this or play that.
Yeah.
But she's steady looking and watching, and I look up and see 2 fawns and a doe coming down the woods. So I leaned over and nudged her and said, I hope you're ready. She goes, what? I said, they're coming. So then she was like, she shouldered the crossbow, and it came in. The 2 fawns came in, and I was like, we're not shooting those. And she goes, what, do you want me to shoot? I said, no, let's just wait a second. So the doe came in, and I looked up and saw a little buck coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, do you want to wait for the buck? It was just a little 3-point.
Yeah.
Of course, I'd look at it and be like, man, that's a nice cape.
Oh, yeah,
so,
sure. Of course you would. She took care of that.
I almost messed it up. Did you hear that story?
Tell us.
Okay, so she comes in, goes broadside. She shoots and is instantly hit it's a bad hit. It's broadside to the right, so she put it behind the shoulder and shot about 6 inches to the right and hit it in the bottom of the neck.
Okay.
Well, it was in a good spot.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Yeah.
I was shooting some pretty big broadheads, so it didn't make it far, and it was done.
Yeah.
So we were kind of teasing her.
Carotid artery shot is usually pretty fatal pretty quick.
Yeah. Yep. We found it pretty quick. So I was kind of teasing her a little bit about shot placement or whatever, getting excited. So then I remember when we got home that we had shot. I should always shoot my weapons before we hunt.
Sure, of course.
And I shot the crossbow, and it was about 2 inches to the right.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, the high energy, sometimes I feel like I'm always tweaking my crossbow shots.
Mm-hmm.
Always. So I remember that I took the scope ring off, and I looked, and I saw it say left, and I clicked it about 8 clicks to the right.
And you clicked the wrong way.
And I broke a number one rule that I've always said. Always shoot it again.
Yeah.
And I almost messed up my mom's first deer. It's totally my fault, and luckily it worked out. So she was relieved to hear it was me, which hopefully will. So I took her back, and we shot some more. So that was definitely my fault. Doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. Errors can be made. Out with a new hunter, my mom, and my mind's occupied on something else. So.
Yeah. First time I took Jacob in the sick of deer marsh, my goal was get two deer on the feeder. We each take one. You know, he gets his first one. I get it. You know, we get some meat.
That's right, yeah.
You know?
Double up.
Yep, double up. I said, okay, you shoot first, I'll shoot second. So he's got 270, I've got the 300. Okay, because, I mean, you could take a 400-yard shot out there in the marsh. So he gets two deer come in. One's on the feeder, and it's a little one. And I said, you know, you want to wait or what do you want to do? Yeah, I want to wait. I want to shoot that one. I said, okay,
oh, good.
Cool. Very good.
Good for him.
So I looked up about 300 yards out in the marsh. I see a head and a set of ears sticking up. And I said, Jacob, they're coming. He goes, how do you know? I said, I just saw one stand up out there. Feeder went off. I just said, you know, feeder went off. I said, they're coming. He goes, how do you know? I said, I just saw one. What do you mean? I don't see anything. I said, he stood up, and I saw his ears and head come out of the marsh. You did not. I said, okay, just watch. Sure enough, three deer came in, two nice-sized does.
Nice.
And I said, we're going to take those two. I said, you take the one on the left, I'll take the one on the right. He said, okay. So I'm watching through the scope, mine, and I know he's good on his, because he had taken a number of deer by this point. He pulls the trigger, and when he shot, his deer flipped over. I totally looked up and squeezed the trigger.
Oh, no.
And I don't know where the shot went. I mean, it was a safe shot, of course. You know,
oh, absolutely.
It was just downrange, but I looked up out of the scope and squeezed. Who knows why?
What?
Well, now we got deer running everywhere.
Oh, no.
So I picked one out. I got on it. I shot. My deer went down. So we had two deer laying, you know, in the same spot, basically. We went out, and he hit this deer in the neck, and I said, Jacob, that's a great shot. He said, it's not where I aimed. I said, yeah, but look at the result.
Yeah,
he goes,
perfect.
Yeah, but I'm upset. I said, why are you upset? He said, because I didn't shoot where I aimed. I said, the result is perfect shot. The deer never twitched, you know. Mine wasn't so good of a shot. But we got
we got
both of them out of there, and, you know, it was fine. Well, we dressed them out, and we're 600 yards from the road. He says, well, how are we going to get out of here? I said, well, we're going to get our guns, put them on our shoulder, in our pack, put them on our back, and then you're going to grab your deer, and I'm going to grab my deer, and we're going to walk 600 yards out to the road. Really? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we did. So
it was, well, that's, you know.
It's hunting. Then I said, you know, I said, did you step in that marsh mud? He goes, yeah, it stinks, doesn't it? I said, hey, buddy, you better get used to that, because these Dorchester County girls, they love that smell. You know, so we're there today. You know, here we are pre-recorded, but we're there today
in the stand.
So, yeah we're
neat.
Doing good.
That's cool.
You had a follow-up on the duck thing you wanted to tell me about.
Yeah, I was just going to mention to, I mean, most waterfowl guys are pretty seasoned if they're either in it or they're not, from, you know, my experience.
Right.
I'm not real big into it, but I just want to make a couple comments. Never field dress a duck or a goose.
If you're going to have it mounted.
If you're going to have it mounted.
Right.
And another tip is, I don't think a lot of people know this, is when you're breasting them, there's always feathers blown everywhere and it's a mess. Get a spray bottle with some clean water in it and soak that breast down, or pour water on out of a water bottle and lather it up and get it soaking wet. Then when you breast that thing, you can pretty much ball them up in little tennis ball size and stick them in a bag, and the mess is almost 100% less.
Really?
There's almost no mess, yeah.
Yeah, I have done that on my porch in my house that's now for sale.
It looks like a snowstorm. And they're oily, so you really got to get water in there and massage it into the quills and stuff in the bottom.
Beautiful.
But it makes such a nicer job.
Well, there's down there, too. That thick breast is
absolutely
a lot of down, so you get that water that's down soaked up, which is not oil proof,
right.
I don't think.
No, it's not.
Oily. All right, good. Hey, can we talk a little bit about the Maryland Hunting Coalition?
Absolutely.
You guys have been avid supporters of the coalition. You got a whole group of guys from Montgomery County that come to our benefit, and everybody buys a table and has a good time, and they buy a lot of raffle tickets and that type of thing.
It's actually a blast.
It is. Our events are fun.
It is. It's
yeah,
really
fun.
Good.
No
yeah,
fun.
I've got Carroll County, Frederick County guys coming now.
Yeah, good.
Getting the guys out's kind of hard, but
yeah.
It's
Jennifer's. She walks around with Laura and helps with sell cards, card raffles,
and
carries guns around. And we greatly appreciate your effort on that.
No problem. But glad to help out.
Well, here's what I wanted to tell you, and our listeners heard this first hour, and I don't know if I told you or not, but Dale Gertz, and I know you know Dale, he's one of our directors. Last week on the show on the 14th, issued a challenge to everybody out there that he will match contributions to the Maryland Hunting Coalition up to $5,000.
Wow.
But the offer runs out the 28th.
Okay.
So, spread the word out there among your guys.
Yeah, we'll get a Facebook. I'll go on the page and share it and talk to the – with the whole group, we had probably four or five tables there, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll reach out to them.
We'll talk to you about a future event, too, coming up probably the – first Tuesday of December, something like that. We'll talk about that one, but let our listeners know once we make it solid. And the good news is our benefit, March 31st in Westminster, we've expanded in an hour. We're going to 5.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's
so that's helpful.
That's a lot.
So, and we appreciate your input on that, too.
Yep,
so.
No problem.
Anyway, you guys have been great for the coalition. We know you bring some of your stuff to the event.
Yeah, thanks for supporting us.
Yeah.
It's a good cause, and if you're not supporting them, you need to be. I just spoke with a guy the other day, and he's like, how come we got to quit hunting at 10:30 on Sundays in Montgomery County now? I was like, that's a good question. Go sign up to the Hunting Coalition, and start helping us. And, he's like, okay, so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Get some numbers, power.
Yep. Exactly. So we had our summit. Our summit notes are online, and that's where people can help us with the contributions, too. I mean, look, we have 80,000 hunters here in Maryland. If we had $10 from every hunter, we'd be financed for years. That's pretty much our 80,000 is pretty much our budget for a year. We've got a contract. None of us that volunteer take any money, including me as executive director.